That's actually what's happening. I'm like, yo, countdown. Oh, wait.
Now Control R. It's Control R.
Man.
Okay.
Yeah, this is that. This via satellite thing. Yeah, I'm perfected.
It's good, right?
So it's working out. I mean, it's broadcasting from Hawaii. I'm fine. I could do this all day.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that. What island are you on?
I am on the island of Oahu.
What city are you in?
I am in Aleva Heights, Kalihi.
What's your address?
That is not happening.
Oh man.
What I like about being out here, by the way,
yeah,
is, okay, so it's been two different experiences in Hawaii for me. I've been going for years, and I have one experience where I didn't have locks. I didn't have dreads. And then I have the experience with dreads. And the experience with dreads is so much better. People treat me so much better. Like, it's like, I appreciate it. Like, I'm like, wow, this is what it's like to be friends with people. So yeah.
So when you didn't have dreads,
you were just like a tourist.
You got the Tulsi Gabbard treatment.
I got the Howley treatment.
Right. But when you do have dreads, you got the local treatment.
Get the local treatment, yeah.
All right, cool.
So yeah, it's a thing, man. Thank you, Hawaii. You guys are very nice to me every year. I've told several jokes and I've mispronounced things, but you guys still seem to be good to me.
I just appreciate you not saying Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I. So,
it's fun.
It rolls into the opening question, actually.
Oh,
while I'm still in Hawaii recording.
Yep.
We do mention that Kev's family father is from the island of Kauai and mother is from the Big Island.
Right.
What is the most local thing that your family did when you were young?
Oh. I think it's a tie. And it's food. That's the, I think that might actually be a little bit sad. I don't know. But it's a tie between Spam Musubi and Kahlua Pig.
you know, all right. I'm out of, okay. I'm out of words. we'll talk to y'all on the side, man. I can't even.
Aloha.
Yo, what up? It's DJ Icy Ice, and you're listening to Rap Sucks Radio.
Radio. Radio. Radio. Radio.
What up, y'all? We are live at Rap Sucks Radio. You are back with us. I will say this real quick on the subject of Spam, by the way. My parents don't seem to remember this, but they actually, ruined Spam for me when I was really young because my dad said he used to fry it, although he didn't cook very much. But I remember somebody, putting uncooked Spam on, a sandwich. You know what I'm saying? So I had it.
Well, Spam is cooked. Spam is cooked.
But unfried. Spam out the can and slicing on. And I remember it being so disgusting. And so when somebody.
By the way, Spam out the can is Spam out the can is my debut album title.
Yo, that would be one of the illest rap titles ever. all right, y'all. Let's get into who's out here tripping. This one is pretty simple, man, and it happened, weeks ago. But it's fair because I wanted to talk about it anyway. Mitch McConnell was out here tripping. What's up with people just not wanting to acknowledge? All right, whatever.
Mm.
Senator Majority.
Not whatever. Not whatever.
I mean, I just want to read this.
Senator
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he opposes paying reparations for slavery, arguing none of us currently living are responsible for what he called America's original sin, CNN reports. His quote.
Yeah.
I don't think reparations for something that happened 150 years ago for whom none of us is currently living is responsible is a good idea. We've tried to deal with our original sin of slavery by fighting a civil war, by passing landmark civil rights legislations. You ready, Kev? You ready?
Yeah.
It's the line.
I'm ready.
We elected an African American president. Dun, dun, dun. Look.
You got your black dude. Now back.
We gave you guys a black guy. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start, Kev.
Sad cartoon turtle son.
That was the perfect sad cartoon turtle son. Okay, look.
Wild tripping. What? Oh, my God. What is wrong with you, dude?
And you know what? As a black American, slavery was not your original sin. It wasn't. It was not your original sin.
It was not.
It was one of your largest, but it was not your original sin. Your original sin was what you did to the natives of this country. That was your original sin. So
You worked up to that. That slavery is in your greatest hits.
Yeah, exactly.
But killing indigenous people is definitely in your deep catalog.
It's like homie. That was your first jam. That was the hit single.
Yeah.
That was the protect
breakout hit.
Right. That was the protect your neck. of your catalog. Like, that's, you jumped out with that one. First things first, man. You messing with the worst. Like, yeah, we're messing with the worst.
You put You God on that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or was it Deck? Was it Deck? It might have been Deck. I don't know. I got to watch the Showtime thing again. I don't know. I love you, Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang forever. That's all good.
Right? I mean, do we want to talk about putting syphilis in blankets? Where do you want to start with your original sin?
It wasn't even syphilis. You can get a shot for syphilis. It was smallpox. You know what smallpox does?
Smallpox
kills people with brown skin.
Yes, it does. I'm sorry. Yeah. Syphilis. Yeah. Nah, I'm sorry. That was in. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was later.
That was later down the line. You injected syphilis. You have so many sins, Mr. McConnell.
Yeah.
The people alive today were not slave owners. That's fair. However, many of you alive today are benefiting from slavery still, right? Yep. If you were not benefiting financially, you're benefiting from the image of slavery. You're benefiting from the response to slavery. You're benefiting from pig law. You're benefiting from slave code. You're benefiting from Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
You're benefiting from the Tulsa riots. You're benefiting from police brutality. Where you may not be responsible, you certainly have quite a few benefits. And when your response, because the common response is, well, you had a black president. Okay, are you going to sit here and tell me we've never had a qualified black candidate prior to this? We haven't had one? Like, come on, man. Like, I wish y'all, I don't know, man. I wish they'd stop. I know they're never going to stop. And the reparations argument is just heating people up. You know what I'm saying?
No, they're the racist Diddy.
Just kidding.
I thought I told you.
Can't stop. Won't stop. Take that.
We won't stop.
No.
Man. So, first of all, you're just mad because 400 years ago, your mama got bedded by a racist turtle. But let's continue. Let's continue. So a lot of people now, I think on both sides of the aisle, And I will preface this by saying I am not. I think Amazon, there are plenty of accounts of Amazon.com not treating their employees with the greatest amount of respect. And I think Jeff Bezos, you know, like, he kind of looks like a cartoon villain.
He does, yes. Yes.
But a lot of people on both sides of the aisle have attacked Amazon.com's ability to avoid tax payments because of their status.
Right.
Corporate status, right?
Right.
Slavery was literally, we will build this without paying taxes, but also without paying anybody.
Anybody. Anybody.
Right. So if you're going to attack the legacy of anybody, start a little closer to home.
Thank you. Go into your ancestry.com.
Right.
Go into your 23andMe, right? And dial back. The personal struggles of your ancestors, I will never question. And I think that's one thing that's always, for you people who immediately get defensive, I am not questioning the struggles of white Americans. I recognize that, you know, everyone born into this world has suffered some form of adversity one way or the other. The problem is you don't recognize that. That's the problem. The problem is, from one end, people of color always have to recognize how much you suffered through all this.
Right.
All of your efforts. We've tried to do it by passing legislation. We've tried to do it by electing. You realize that you continue to put yourself in power through this conversation, and that ultimately is the problem. You've tried everything but supporting the black community directly and becoming human enough to become a complete American society. And that is why we're here right now. That's why we are where we are. Because you don't want to lose your position of power.
It's literally point blank, period. You and yours, 150 years ago and beyond, did not try. I think I just hit the mic cord. Did not try to not own slaves.
You did not. And I actually say,
cut it out.
Cut it out, man. And I have a point, and I'll discuss this maybe on another episode or whatever, because I won't get all the way into this. But my thing about America's, not original sin, right? But America's, I would say, greatest sin. I'm sure many natives would argue that, and I wouldn't argue with them at all. The suffrage of your community is very, very much worth it. I'm sure the Japanese who had...
Yeah, this is... That it's fair, but it's a race to the bottom. It's like,
we don't want to race to the bottom, but I'm sure the people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki would argue, I don't know about that, Reg. You know what I'm saying? And I would say that's fair.
Now that you bring that up... No, okay, go on.
But, you know, I'm pretty certain that the Chinese folks who worked the railroads, we can go on and on, right?
Which is sad.
Right. So I say all that to make a point, though. Listing all of those things, including slavery, I would argue that those actions were not the complete problem, right? The problem is, once you recognized how terrible those actions were, you didn't stop being terrible. That's actually the problem. We can have an argument about world history where people have done horrible things to other people, right? But the problem in all of that is that you didn't stop being an asshole. You came up with all this legislation to keep people of color down. You continued. You were like, all right, let's abolish slavery and then keep fucking with them. You know what I'm saying? It's a crazy thing. The fact that slave owners have received reparations for the loss of slavery.
It just never stops. Man. And this is one of the rare moments in our journey, on our podcast journey, because everyone out there knows that I don't like you. But you have made an incredibly valid point just now. This is all I have to say to Mitch McConnell and his ilk. He's like, stop!
Stop it!
Because a month from now, somebody is going to, some, you know, and honestly, it's probably going to be a young, strapping white person is going to tear down a Confederate monument in a southern state. and you're going to rise to the occasion to defend the rights of people to hold up the Confederate flag and those monuments to Robert E. Lee. It's like, shut up.
Right.
Shut the hell up.
Right. Right.
And this is the one thing that I'm really tired of is, and this defense has come from people on both sides of the aisle. They're usually of a singular genre. When confronted with questions of racism, of, you know, just institutionalized subjugation of any group of people in the United States, which I think, I mean, come on, it's a healthy conversation, is their response is either it's time to get over it.
Yep.
Or it's time to move on.
Yep.
Which is, rhetorically, it's the worst defense you could ever come up with.
It is the exact defense someone uses when they are completely in the fucking wrong.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's like, get over it. It's like, dude, you're about to get punched in the fucking mouth.
Yeah. Knock it off.
That's literally asking. It's literally, that is literally, if you translate that to, okay, put it's time to move on into Google Translate, and you will get the people of color translation to, please punch me in the mouth.
Right. Yeah, it's a ridiculous thing. I don't even know. Whatever, man. It's just crazy. But, yo, Kev, real quick, how long did you live in New York, man?
10 years.
10 years.
Yes.
You ever see where Biggie lived?
Yeah. I thought I told you that we used to live literally right across the street from this spot.
From the spot.
His old spot.
You know how much that spot's going for these days?
How much?
$4,000 a month.
Guess what?
What?
How many bedrooms that?
I don't even know. How many bedrooms is it? Like, well, one room shack, right?
I mean, big, yeah, he used to talk about one room shack. I saw on the article that you posted, which I read, humble brag, it's being marketed as a 3-bedroom. So I got to bring the real estate swag into the equation right now, right? 3 bedrooms in Clinton Hill at 4G?
Yeah.
Mad cheap.
Wow. That is actually terrifying.
It's not mad cheap, but it's not crazy.
I mean, 3 bedrooms, you get 3 people in there, you can have a nice little spot to kick it. I named this segment called A Crib, Same Number, Same Hood. The one room shack in Brooklyn that Notorious B.I.G. rapped about living in as a child is up for rent, with the owner charging a smooth $4,000 a month to reside there.
No.
Reported doubt. By the New York Post. It is described as
four Stinex.
Four. It's described as a beautiful home and a fantastic neighborhood filled with little shops and great transportation.
It is now.
The apartment is iconic, a historical gem.
No doubt.
Damn, when black folk was living there, though. When black folk was living there, it was like, oh my God, this is disgusting. The most. And it, to me, that. Who would live here? Why would we ever want to live here? This is gross. Yeah.
Yo, but the crazy thing is that block has undergone so much transformation.
Well.
So I'm going to shout out some of the old school. One of our favorite restaurants was called Soleil.
Yeah.
I think it's gone now. I'm pretty sure it's gone.
Yep.
That was the that was, it wasn't the place that introduced me to the roti, but they had a super dope roti. I don't know if it was the best roti ever, but it was the go-to roti spot. The place around the corner used to be called Kush Cafe.
Oh, word. I'm familiar with that.
I think they changed their name. Same chef, my man, but changed their name because, you know, gentrification. This is a block where the dude who opened the pharmacy on the corner, literally, like, I literally could throw a rock and hit his pharmacy, who I assume, you know, went through all the pharmacy training, was a very well-established person, well-educated person, opened a pharmacy on the corner to serve the community, and, but treated everybody like, you know, your local bodega owner, of which there were two on the block who treated everybody like community.
Right.
And then there was literally this block was super dope. And it's, I think it still is, but yeah, there's been a lot of, gentrification and, you know, change, which happens. It, the crazy thing, okay, so the 24-hour laundromat around the corner was where we used to do the laundry.
Where?
Guess who I used to see there all the time? Illmind.
Oh, wow.
Shout to Illmind.
Shout out to Illmind, yo. One of the illest producers.
Big shout. Props on the Grammy, homie. Yeah. My man.
Yeah. Very chill dude. Doesn't have a lot of words for folks.
He keeps his nose to the grindstone.
Yep. You know that place, by the way, that building, including the same windows and moldings, sold in 2013 for like $825,000. I can't imagine. What would it be worth now, Kev?
Dude. No. Dude, that's nothing.
Well, yeah, 2013, that number makes sense, though.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it. I don't know. I'm hedging because I don't think I'm qualified to appraise the value of the building. But three bedrooms for 4,000 is literally not unheard of, and I know it's unheard of anywhere else in the world.
Well, except
in Brooklyn, in Clinton Hill, it's not unheard of. It might be, you know, mad railroad. Like, okay, so. If you live in New York, or I think on the East Coast, a railroad apartment is super crazy because it's like you could have three bedrooms, but you have to walk through somebody else's bedroom to get to your bedroom.
Right.
Because I think Wifey said that she actually looked at an apartment in that building before she found her place across the street. So she was like, yeah, this was kind of crazy.
That's wild, yo. This actually comes on the hill.
But this is what I'll say. This is what I'll say. Okay, close to that building, because they talked about transportation.
Yeah.
Close to the building. You got your AC right around the corner.
Oh, word. Okay, A-Train, C-Train.
A or C-Train is super dope line. And then my favorite train in New York, the G-Train. Which stands for gangster. I don't care what you say. is just a couple blocks up, which will take you nowhere. It will literally, the G train will literally take you to the station you need to go to get to where you need to go, or to Queens.
Word up.
If you need to go to Queens, that's it. And the only thing I hope that if you rent that apartment for $4,000, you will eventually find the stash.
I hope so. I do, man. It depends on who you are. This does come on the heels of Amoeba in Hollywood set to be destroyed. This has been ongoing for quite some time, though. So finally, they have to move, and Amoeba is moving. But I think what's lost in all of this though is. That building is going away. The decor is going away.
Right.
The one thing I've always argued about Los Angeles, and I can't speak for anywhere else in the world. I've never lived anywhere else in the world. I feel like LA is built like movie sets. one building
right
next door to another building that looks completely different. You know what I'm saying? One block looks a little different from the next block. And I think that's a little off-putting to people who are used to blocks and blocks looking the same. But for me, I've grown to enjoy it because I kind of understand that there's a unique nature to it. My block is different than your block. My building's different than your building. My house is relatively different from your house or whatever. That's what Amoeba was. Amoeba was this sort of like, you know, iconic building in the middle of Hollywood that visually represented everything that unified Hollywood to right up the street from Hollywood. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Old records, just ill building, neon lights, quintessential Los Angeles signs and you know what I'm saying, Amoeba sign or whatever. And that's going to be destroyed for a regular high rise, what I call future projects, because when I call all these buildings future projects. Because when it all crashes down, man, like, you're going to be able to get one of them. You know, we're going to be in there for so cheap that it's future projects. But, you know, I'd like to hope that doesn't happen if any investors are listening. But at the same time, I mean, the ebbs and flows, right? But I just think you take away so much. So much culture is being removed from these cities. And a lot of that culture, similar to how I feel like culture is kind of being dragged out of music a little bit. A lot of that culture kind of was, it's what made, culture makes things. Culture makes connections. And to remove those connections for the sake of building a random high rise on top of Amoeba, I think that's trash. It's going to look just like the high rise next door, which is going to look just like the high rise next door, which is going to look just like the high rise up the street. It's, at the end of the day, man, I think you have to consider what your area is going to look like as you start to tear down these great, you know, kind of monumental structures in the city. And this isn't new. This isn't new to my generation or what have you. They've done this before. They tore down MJ Higgins, which was one of the last speakeasies in Los Angeles. I thought that was crazy. But, yeah, I think along with gentrification should be discussed is neighborhood transformation, like the things that go missing that represented those neighborhoods so well, you know?
Right. No, I mean, yeah, absolutely. And that's while you were saying that, I thought about why I love my wife, because she has been a stalwart proponent for the preservation and advancement of arts and culture in New York and LA.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I've told her this, it's like location, location, location. And people who want money are going to find a way to get that money. You know Definitely. What I mean? So, I mean, you know, it's like the block that Amoeba's on, like I Mike Shinoda did an event at Amoeba when he launched his last album. So I was like, I want to take my daughter to go see Amoeba and go check out Mike. And we went there and I was like, this is completely different from 10 years ago.
Yep.
Cause I think it had been 10 years since I had been to Amoeba.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, so I see what's going on. It's about the block.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think that's the part that gets lost in it.
Developers and real estate agents hold their block stronger. Hands down, than any drug dealer that has ever existed in the history of the world.
Well, I written, you know, on the last record that also came out in 2013, Hometown Foreigner, I actually wrote Street Casualty. You know what I'm saying? And it approached gentrification from the part of the gentrified, not the gentrifier, right?
Right, right.
So, and I had grown enough by the time I wrote this record to not be blaming the dope dealer on the block. Not that you are. Not be blaming the dope dealer on the block or not be blaming the hustler or whatever. I think economy breeds circumstance. You know what I'm saying? I don't think the Italians form the mafia because they like killing people. I think that, you know, economy breeds circumstance, and if you're not getting your piece, you're going to find a way to get your piece, right? Very simple. That's right. Why, you know, Oliver North and your man Reagan dumped crack into the neighborhood because it wasn't no jobs, man. And basically...
Not my man.
Right. Not your folks. Not your man. Somebody's man out there listening. But yeah, I think, you know, economy breeds circumstance, and that's what holding down the block is for a developer, right? Economy breeds circumstance.
Right. Yeah.
Records, you know, yeah. Nobody wants a record store anymore. Are you sure? Maybe it's a good idea to keep a long-standing record store in its place as a monument or a landmark for the rest of your properties. Now, I know what I'm talking is pie in the sky and kumbaya. I get it. I'm aware of it. You know what I'm saying? I make a fair, you know, I have a fair amount of understanding on real estate. But it's also like, look, man, the city was what makes your city special can't just constantly be removed for something unspecial.
Right.
And we can't just replace it with murals and, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I love murals, but we can't just be like, okay, well, let's just put a mural on the side of this build. Like, that's not how this works. Right. There are far more, right, you know, unique things about a city. Whether that city is a city that is, you know, Central America that you may not really care to go to or whatever, there's something unique. There's an old town store, an old town road, something that is very specific to that city that's been around for dozens of years or sometimes hundreds of years. That's just been thrown in the trash for, you know, 4-story, 5-story, 8-story, 20-story apartment building that's just going to look like the apartment building next door. I mean, I think you can do better. You know what I'm saying?
So I feel the need to insert a counter argument because I do not like you.
Black and Asian.
Long time listeners know that. All right.
Fair enough.
Amoeba is an institution in the Bay Area.
Absolutely, yes.
They came to Southern California a number of years later. I would love for us to make certain institutions in Los Angeles historic monuments. One of which would probably be Tower on Sunset.
Yeah.
For me personally, it would be Martin's Records.
Oh, man. That would have been great. That would have been great, man.
That was my favorite Rhino spot. Records. Like, you know, yeah. Like, I mean, seriously, like if we're talking about, if we're having this conversation, because of the fact that the music industry has changed so much and because of the fact that we use the title Rap Sucks Radio to indicate that we might remotely be talking about music. Like, there are plenty of record stores, VIP.
But all of them, you know, though, Kev. But that, I think,
which can be denoted as historical monuments.
Historical
landmarks.
I think all of them. I think Amoeba, Tower, yeah. VIP. I wish Martin's. I think all of them to go along with certain restaurant spaces. I mean, Clifton's. Yeah. Reopened. I think that's one thing that's not really noted. And Clifton's in downtown Los Angeles that my father used to go to reopened years later,
yep,
because it had value. It was unique to the area. It was something that meant something to people. I mean, do we close Philippe's one day and just put an apartment complex on top of it? Like, you can't do that. It's Philippe's. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. You can understand things with an apartment build, an apartment or brownstone that Biggie used to live in. Like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the fact that Biggie used to live in it is an anomaly, right? Oh, a rapper used to live here. That's dope. An extremely famous rapper that is one of the best, right? Oh, that's dope. But at the end of the day, real estate fluctuates. It goes up, it goes down, and right now it's up than a mug. But I think the loss of culture still remains so strong to me, man. Like, we just basically, now we just shoved that joint in a museum. Like, you're just going to basically find L.A. culture at the Broad, and that'll be the last place you find it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Indeed. And I would be remiss while talking about Amoeba to not shout out the homegirl.
Mona Lisa?
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
Shout out to
Moses. She posted that she actually posted that this is not happening.
Right.
This is a long way from happening. So, you know.
Okay.
We'll see. The main war man in charge. Indeed. Mona Lisa.
Young Mona Lisa in the place to be. That's the homegirl. DJ Mona Lisa, actually, as well.
Exactly.
As we move on to the next topic, which is completely different from any topic we've discussed prior. Title of this topic, folks, Dr. Feelgood with a question mark.
Yeah.
Myanmar. Okay. I think I pronounced
Buttigieg.
Yeah, I was going to say Buttigieg, but yeah, there you go. I was going to actually say, yeah, that's as bad as last week. A doctor who wanted to become a model has her medical license revoked for sharing, quote, immoral, unquote, bikini photos. Now, I had to double the source up because I knew you were going to try to get at me about the source. This comes sourced by real923la.com. However, it is via a site which I believe is pronounced women. WHIMN.com.
Okay.
After several years of treating patients, this doctor began to share photos of her in a two-piece to social media and began participating in professional photo shoots. But in January this year, the now 29-year-old was issued a warning by the Myanmar Medical Council, ordering her to stop posting such racy images and to delete existing ones from her page. Having ignored the warning, Dr. San had her medical license rescinded. I don't get it.
I think first and foremost, we need to shout out the homie Alan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Traumatics, DJ Traumatics. Yes.
For bringing this to our attention.
He did. Yep. Yep, that was shout out to Traumatics, man. That was a good. This was a good one right here.
And I think this is his. I'm not going to take credit for this joke. I think he said something like it was hella false advertising for her doctor, for her practice, her medical practice. Because she was in the pool in the two piece.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But salute to her. She literally trolled an entire country on the gram.
She really did, though.
Yeah.
But here's my question.
Yeah.
The fact that she wore a bikini means that she no longer understands medicine? I don't get it. Like, I just don't understand. I don't understand the argument here. Like, I don't understand what the imagery reflects it. I don't understand. I wouldn't understand it if she was a porn star. Like I'm saying, like if she knows how to do reconstructive heart surgery, but she also does right. porn. I'm just trying to figure yeah. out where she loses her ability to do reconstructive heart surgery and whether that image is even necessary. Like, I get it from the church, sure, but
if,
from medical,
if field, anything, I want her in the room.
I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
I don't get it. This has been my argument. There's another thing going around. Jeannie Buss of the Los Angeles Lakers who...
Wait.
Huh?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I thought you were going to say something with regard... But anyway, Jeannie Buss of the Los Angeles Lakers years ago did what I would call... Okay, I would call it a weird... photo shoot. It was a weird Playboy photo shoot, but because it was in a Lakers locker room, it was odd. The now controlling owner of the Los Angeles Lakers did this Playboy photo shoot, and she was the cover of Playboy or main spread or whatever it is in Playboy. I don't know.
Wait, she got naked?
Well, you know, yes, naked enough. Playboy, you know what I'm saying?
Forward-thinking NBA.
But I have jokes about it. I do. I have jokes about it. It's an odd photo shoot. It's just really weird. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You know, laying across the accountant's desk or whatever desk she was at the time. Like, I just thought it was an odd photo. It was just odd.
awkward.
It was very awkward.
At best.
But I'm like, she's supposed to be a damn good accountant and a damn good business negotiator. I just don't understand that if her getting naked in front of a camera changes that. I'm like, no, she's still incredibly good at what she does. You know what I'm saying? Well, not so much. Well, okay,
she knows how to multitask.
I'm saying, right?
And listen, we all take our clothes off at least once a week.
I'd like to hope. Yeah,
I would think, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so there needs to be an advancement in the male understanding that it's naked women are not, you know, it doesn't end when she gets naked. Like, she's still intelligent.
Yeah, but this is also a comment on the general male psyche. when a lady takes her clothes off, we lose our goddamn mind, you know?
So, if you-
which leads me back to my better caption of Dr. Feelgood's Instagram post. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
No scrubs.
Wow.
Boom!
You win. I'm done. I'm done.
Thank you very much.
Way better title.
Thank you for coming out.
Way
good night. Tip the veal. Try your waitress.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is a title win. No scrubs is a title win. I don't even know if we should. I think the rest of the show is over. No scrubs.
I ethered the episode.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
I'm going to attempt a damn nature you scary.
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to try. I'm not going to do that. Me and Suge sounded like the crows from from Dumbo last time we tried to do damn nature you scary. Like, so I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
Yo, did we ever? We did discuss that. How the crows from Dumbo and the crows from The Wiz had to be like the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We discussed that. All right. Cool. wildlife experts on a French island of Corsica have discovered an unusual cat fox, which may be a new species.
Wow.
Yeah. Fam.
Meow?
Meow. What does the fox say? Meow. No. Look, dog. Which side had the shortage of women? Did the fox chick stop doing it? Or did the feline stop doing it? Which side was like, nah, no more of this. You're going to have to go over there. I'm done with y'all. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? My progressive, open-minded opinion is that this is literally the most underwhelming interracial couple ever.
Right? I actually always thought they were pretty much the same creature. Like, oh, wait, is that a cat? Or, I don't know. One has, you know, tufted ears. The other is just relatively annoying in a house, and I don't understand why people own them as a pet. Like, yeah, they both seem like horrible pets. Just like two horrible pets combined to, you know, make a really awful pet. So yeah.
Also, your citation for this segment of the show was from foxnews.com, which I contend is literally 100%. Hands down, the most accurate on-point reporting from Fox News to date.
Straight out of the file. People say that people may argue that we only read leftist news.
Yeah.
This report comes from Fox News directly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. I need a conservative take on multiracial animal relations.
But here's the crazy thing. Fox still decided to report on foxes. Like, they don't even, they won't accept diversity under any circumstances. Like, no, we're not doing this. You know what I'm saying? The only way we're going to discuss animals is if they're part fox. Oh, man.
She's only part fox? Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, we're fine.
By the way, did you hear about how Donald Trump Jr., who is our favorite junior,
right,
retweeted something about Kamala Harris only being Jamaican and Indian, which means that she is not actually African American.
Good job. Good job.
What the hell? And it was, he retweeted that, but it was tweeted by, I think, an African American person.
Yes, I was trying to hold back that fact. That is a relative, that is a common argument amongst my people, and I try not to publicly disparage my people, and that is all I'm going to say. Some of you are really fucking stupid. That's all I have to say about that. And
this dude is,
you have to be careful who co-signs.
His name is Ali Alexander, by the way.
Yeah. Get, you know. Chill out, bro. Chill out. You all right, man.
And all right.
No, I'm talking to the dude. Chill out, bro. You'll be all right.
He does his very best in every photo I've seen thus far in the last 10 minutes to look like Bubbles from The Wire.
Wow. You know what, though? Can I make a quick point about when people say this type of thing? Because I hear this quite a bit, you know what I'm saying, in various, you know, from various racist cultures, etc.
Indeed.
Listen, man, when a racist cop rolls up to you, they don't know that you're Jamaican and they see a black person.
Exactly.
They don't have any idea. Do you honestly think that a racist teacher or a ignorant teacher who holds a auction for a slave auction where the black kids are auctioned off to the white kids in a room understands
right.
that one of her students is Belizean? Does she know that? No, she sees them all exactly. as black kids, which means the experience is right. exactly the same or very similar. So you can stop now. You can all stop now. It's okay. And I get it. You read Malcolm X's autobiography and you're hyped up and you got all the knowledge you need because that's as far as you're willing to go. And then you realize that Malcolm didn't even say no stupid shit like that. So now you're like, all right, what do I do with this? Because I listened to Brand Nubian, so I feel like I'm doing pretty well. And, you know, I'm growing my hair out. I should be able to describe the entire black experience in one tweet, and I'm going to do it. No.
Right.
No, you can't do it. No. They came from Columbus. Yeah. They came before Columbus is not enough information, dog. Knock it off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The whole thing is, there is a reason why her ancestors are here. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, knock it off. That's to all of you, too. That's to my Asian folks who disregard another Asian's experience because they may be mixed. That's to my black folks who have issues with other mixed black folks. That's to my Hispanic and Latino folks who got issue with one specific country versus another country. Like, come on, dog. The experiences are very similar across the board. You can be done with that. You can chill.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Get it off your plate, man. You don't have to finish that.
This is my across the board comment. They don't fucking care.
No, they don't. And they don't see a fucking difference. You know what I'm saying?
Stop parsing.
Obama was mixed in a mug. And he was all sorts of, you know what I'm saying? They had that man, they had a rally with him hanging on every damn poster on that thing. What you think? They only hung the black part of the African part of him, man? Knock it off. You know what I'm I'm saying? Matter of fact, you know my rule, man. And me and the homie Sai had this conversation all the time. People say, or the rule was, one drop of black meant you was black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So let's say there's an actress out there, or a famous politician, or whomever, that we find out had one drop of black in them. When I'm around non people of color, or shoot, no matter who, I'd be like, no, they black. Those were your rules. Those accomplishments are now ours. The, you know, whatever they accomplished is now a black accomplishment because those were your rules. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Anyway, the whole thing is
when
stupid.
When they're tying up that noose,
yeah,
and getting that ready. No one's holding up a paper bag.
No, there is no brown paper bag. Rule.
Fuck out of here!
Knock it the fuck off. I mean, let me not. I'm not going to do that. There's still a lot of deliberating to do. Right now, Kamala does not have my vote, but okay. That does not have anything to do with her not being black enough for me. I don't even know how that's a thing. Who measures that? You know what I'm saying? Is there a card I didn't get? Who measures levels of blackness?
Well, I mean, we have to also speak to the general population of people who we think may or may not be listening to what we're saying. But Kamala has a problematic history.
That is true. Yes, she does.
And the enforcement of certain policies that were in effect when she was in office in the Bay
towards black Americans. Particularly affecting black Americans and people of color. So, yeah, it's not like Kamala's a perfect human being. But what we won't do is get to dividing this blackness up into little small. It's not a pizza, fam. We good. We don't need the division. We'll be all right without it. Anyway, before I go any further.
Stop with your pizza hate.
Yeah, pizza's.
I'm not going to stand for it.
Oh, my God. Pizza's trash. You are listening to Rap Sucks Radio. We like to thank y'all for listening. I am your homeboy, Track Life, and that is your fam, Kev Sakota.
I love you, pizza.
Pizza's gross. And we will catch y'all on the flip side. Catch us on Spotify. When do we get on iHeart, man? iHeart, get us on, man. We doing it. We out here killing it. Shout out to my listeners in Canada, or our listeners in Canada, not just mine. Shout out to the homeboy Fizz for dodging the question asked of his allegiances. And Spit Kickers in the building.
Oh,
I got hella shout outs.
I don't need no. I don't. Come on, it's easy. I don't need no.
I get it. Big up to the homie Mr. Shug, the perpetual guest. Mr. Shug. You'll be hearing from him soon. And we are out of here like last year. Y'all, we'll holler at y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.